Behold, this child is a sign that will be spoken against. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Now, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, that greatest city of the third millennium. Moses left the cities of Egypt, that greatest empire of its time. Jesus would be reared far from Jerusalem, that poisonous atmosphere of Babylonian Persian religion. For in those fevered streets and in that concentration of fleshly living, city dwellers could neither see nor hear God save in brief glimpses or in fragments of sound. In our own time, Bell Labs, attaining 11 Nobel Prizes and 5 Turing Awards, had to leave New York because of that city's electromagnetic fields and airborne industrial particulates. For its researchers aspired to see and hear the heavens. On that note, Arno Penzias, Nobel laureate in physics, told me that the opening verses of Genesis were a, quote, precise, though poetic description of the Big Bang theory, end quote, the Big Bang theory, which his work confirmed. As Wordsworth wrote, the world is too much with us, and we shall never see God so long as we are fixed on worldly things. Several thousand years later, this principle still applies. We must extricate ourselves from the tentacles of the world, throw away our televisions, turn off our radios, and use the internet only prudently. Else our inner gaze cannot escape the evil one. We cannot help but fix our gaze always on the evil one, contemplating the evil one who rules this world. John 12:31, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2. In fact, this principle applies with a ferocity hitherto unknown, amplified many times over by this age's technologies, which are hastening the spiritual death of humankind. Like John the Baptist, we must depart to a wilderness. We must emulate the man from Eden, who wore only natural clothes, ate a kind of manna made from honey and wheat, and refused inebriating drink, and who saw with particular clarity and pained sensitivity the monstrous life of man without God. The forerunner emulated Jesus, who was and is Eden. The element natural to Jesus of Nazareth is paradise. And he inaugurated his 3-year ministry with one word, metanoite, which means turn back, you're going the wrong way. And immediately added, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. The kingdom of heaven, the bosom of Abraham, the groves of Eden, these are all phrases which mean the same thing, for union with God. And every other path will lead you to, quote, the resurrection of condemnation, unquote. John 5:29. Today we celebrate a nascent word about God and the estranged world. Saint Simeon's prophecy is dense with meaning. Quote, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Luke 2:34. The Greek word Simon uttered was antilegomenon, which means speaking against, literally contradiction, contradiction, against, speaking. Nearly all English translations, which render this as will be spoken against, suggest Jesus becoming a byword that people will speak unkindly about him. But the primary meaning of the word is flat contradiction. Have you heard the flinty rebuke of Jesus sprinkled throughout the Gospels? He does not mince words. He does not look for euphemisms or soft ways to couch his meaning. His words are bold, and they cut to the quick. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you feel it piercing you? Do you feel yourself helpless beneath this piercing sword of God's discernment? I do. Yet our God and King and Maker constantly faced contradiction. As St. John declared in his prologue, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world received him not. Indeed, the world opposed the advent of God and opposes it still. But to contradict God is to bring upon oneself divine judgment, which is the final contradiction, the last word. To stand before the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart is always already to come into his piercing judgment. In the words of an ancient prayer, perhaps dating to the first or second century, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. With those words, do you feel the nakedness that I feel? Yet the world is out of joint and has been since the first disobedience in Eden. And when that crooked world stands before, directly beneath, the perfect lineaments of heaven, here is a most awful place, a place of hurricanes and tornadoes and unbearable velocities. For the world will never square with the perfection and goodness of heaven. Nor can changeless heaven bend itself to accommodate the unredeemed world. And when heaven came to earth, the Lord Jesus looked out upon all that he had made and inescapably discerned all with the perfect and good vision of God. With exquisite pain, he saw brokenness all around him, everywhere he went. And sensing this perfection and goodness, sensing his piercing vision and therefore judgment, the proud could only respond with insolence and impertinence, and worse, ripping out pieces of his beard, placing a mocking crown of thorns upon his sacred head, and spitting upon his incommensurably holy person. Contradiction, the word contains within it the meaning of the meeting place between God and man. Indeed, as I listen to Sister Mary Ann read the epistle lesson, I heard that St. Paul tells us that Jesus arises only out of contradiction. A priesthood which is internally contradicted. Contradictions to Moses. Moses spoke no word of Judah. Contradiction, contradiction, contradiction. Jesus arises from contradiction, contradicting the law, contradicting our expectations. This meeting place between man and God is a most dangerous place. So let us keep silence. Let us bow our heads in awe at the words of the prophet. With his advent, the sun has cut through the particulate air that chokes the spirit. He has summoned us to depart from the irradiating buzz of our technologies. He has called us away, all of us, that we might breathe wholesome air and pray beneath crystalline night skies. And he has called us to a desert place, no different from the ones to which he called Abraham and Moses and St. John the Forerunner. Let us therefore draw a circle beneath heaven and dedicate it and consecrate it and protect it. For this is his will, that we inhabit and guard a little outpost of the kingdom of heaven. For his words from the beginning are spoken with the same urgency as he first spoke them. You are going the wrong way. Open your hearts and attend. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. All else is a deadly waste of our time, and our time at this late hour must not be wasted. For when he calls, he expects a reply. Therefore, say your prayers. Greet your guardian angel. Live in godly simplicity. And have a heart for the poor and the homeless. For this, there is mirth in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.